You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And reading verse 1. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And our subject this morning is the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness. Because this statement, even though it may appear to be a statement of happiness, a statement of joy, well, it is very much that. It is an exuberant proclamation of a man who has found true happiness. And he is compelled to say, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Not miserable, not oppressed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiveness. He is a happy man. He is a joyful man. He has found true happiness. This is what this verse is saying to us. And this is why we have this subject, the pursuit of happiness. And well, just to mention who this man is, of course, it is David, King David of the Old Testament, the famous Old Testament king, famous for slaying Goliath, as many of you well know, and writer of many of the Psalms. But well, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Happy, that word could equally be translated. Happy is he. Happy is the man. Happy is the condition of that man. Happy are the prospects of somebody whose transgression is forgiven. This is how the Bible defines happiness, the forgiveness of sin. Happiness. We all seek after happiness in our lives, after joy, after peace. We all want that, of course. I haven't met anybody who didn't want to be happy. Everybody has that desire for fulfillment, for happiness and contentedness. But I'm sure the world, well, I know that the world has a very different idea of what happiness is. Happiness is not like this, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happiness for the world, well, means something totally different. I was reading about an ancient philosopher called Aristotle the other day, and he said something about happiness. He said that happiness depends on ourselves. It's up to ourselves to make us happy. And I'm sure that many people in this current society, in this world, believe that. It's up to us. You have to make yourself happy. It's up to you. Don't just sit there looking miserable. You go and do something to make yourself happy. But actually, this verse is not saying that. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You can't do anything about that. You cannot cover your own sin. So, for happiness, we can't depend on ourselves. We depend upon God. Because true happiness, revealed in this verse, comes from him. Only he can give forgiveness. Only he can cover our sins. So happiness, true happiness, can't depend on ourselves. Other people in this world may say that happiness, well, it comes from the things that the world can give us. A good career, perhaps. A family, a large family. Maybe a long holiday, happiness. We go away and go on a long break. That gives us great happiness. I was reading the other day some rather quirky ideas on what happiness was, something that had been posted on a social media website, some cartoons. I'll read just a few of these for you. Happiness, somebody wrote, was finding an unexpected piece of chocolate. Happiness was not having to set the alarm for the next day. Happiness was laughing until your stomach hurts. Well, these are some more quirky ideas of what happiness is. And well, there are many other ideas of what happiness is. But may I suggest to you, and this happened to me, that you can have all those things that the world says will lead to happiness and yet still be unhappy. You can have all the things that the world prescribes and yet inwardly you are still unhappy and you don't know why. I used to be like this before I was saved. I would say to my friends, I'm not happy. They would sit me down and say, well, why are you unhappy? Explain to me why you are unhappy. And I couldn't explain it. I had all the things that the world could give me. I had a good job. I had lots of friends. I had a healthy social life. I could go on holidays whenever I wanted to. And so nobody could really understand why I was unhappy. Nobody knew. But well, when we open up the Word of God, we get the answer. Blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I didn't have that. I didn't know that that was the reason I was unhappy. But well, we can't know unless we come to the Word of God. This is why people, even though they have so much, are still unhappy. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. The forgiveness of sin, that is the way to be happy. Well, therefore, we can conclude, or deduce rather, that in order to be happy, you have to be aware that you are a sinner. If happiness means the forgiveness of sin, well, then you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner in the first place. And well, this is where this world falls down. Nobody in this current society likes to admit that they are sinners. They don't like to admit their sin. And well, people say to you, it's wrong to teach people that they are sinners. You shouldn't be teaching that people are sinners. You should be telling people that they're good people, that they're nice people, that essentially they're good at heart, that they, well, they may do certain things wrong, but you know, their hearts are in the right place. That's what you have to say to people. Parenting nowadays, when you raise children, you have to tell them how good they are constantly. You're a good boy, you're a good girl, you're not a naughty, don't ever tell them they're naughty. It might harm them. It might harm their development. You can't ever tell them they're sinners. Of course not. You have to tell them they're good people. Raise their self-esteem. And so this is where people fall down. People will never find true happiness if they're always told that they're good, because the way to true happiness is the forgiveness of sin. You have to acknowledge that you're a sinner to receive the forgiveness of God and to know true happiness. But nobody wants to believe that they're sinners. So when we preach about sin, and many people perhaps don't like it, when we preach about sin, it's because we want you to be happy. We want to set you on that path to happiness, because the first step on the path to happiness is to acknowledge that you are a sinner. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. And eventually then you will receive the forgiveness of sin and be blessed, as this verse tells us. It's the first step to happiness, confessing your sin. And as I've mentioned before, it's the first sign of spiritual life. You can't tell people that they are good, constantly good. One reason you can't tell people that they're good is because it's not the truth. Of course it's not the truth. The Word of God is the truth. But well, you tell people they're good, they're righteous. That's not the truth. And you can't be happy if you're living on a lie. You can't tell people something that's inaccurate, that's not right, and then expect them to be happy. This is why so many people are unhappy. They've based their whole lives on something that is not true. I'm a good person. I do good things. It's not true. And so they're trying to find happiness in something that's patently a lie. But if we look at the truth, we're sinners, well then we begin on the right path. True happiness can be found from this. And the scriptures, well, it tells us that we are all sinners. What is sin? It is transgression of the law of God. We read the Bible, we read the laws, the Ten Commandments. We know that we have broken, not one, not two, all of them we've broken, the laws of God. And well, this is why the Bible is so true. We have broken the laws of God. We've all told a lie at one time. We've all stolen something at one time, coveted something that belongs to somebody else. There have been times, many times, when we haven't put God first. That is one of the commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And how many times have we put ourselves first? I won't go to church today. There's something good on the TV. There's something else I have to go and do. We've broken that commandment a million times. We are all sinners because, well, we are rebels by nature, the Bible teaches us. We are born that way. We are born resistant to God's rules and laws. When we are youngsters, we hear the Ten Commandments. Oh, we don't want to keep them. Our nature within ourselves says, I don't want that. I don't want God's rules. I don't want him to rule over me. And that is our nature. We are rebellious by nature. That's what the Bible teaches us. And well, we live in a world that is full of sinners. Of course, we can't find true happiness if everybody around us is sinful. You watch the news, you could maybe have had a very good day, a good day at work, a happy day out. You come back home, you stick on the news. Well, what do you hear? About sin. People doing sinful things. About terrible things that have happened. People who are greedy, who are corrupt, murderous, thieves. You hear about sin, these things bring you down. Some people don't ever want to watch the news because it brings them down. So you can't find true happiness in this world that is full of sinners. And well, many of us know from our personal lives, it's not just in the news. Many of us have been victims of sin, attacked by people, maybe not physically, but emotionally. People have tried to manipulate us. People have tried to abuse us in some way, neglect us, been unkind to us. We have all experienced sin in our lives, and so we can't be truly happy. These things bring us down. They affect us. You can't find true happiness in this world, and you can't escape it. Some people, well again, I was like this. Some people, they're so willing to believe, yes, I believe what you say. Everybody is a sinner, but not me. I'm different. Everybody else is a sinner except for me. That's what I thought. I could see the sin in everybody else. And there was one stage in my life when I just got fed up. I almost became a recluse. I went and rented an apartment on my own. I just want to live on my own. I don't want anything to do with anybody else. Everybody else is selfish, manipulative, horrible people. I'm just going to go and live on my own. Then I'll be happy. That's the way of true happiness, isn't it? Everybody else is a sinner. But if I'm by myself, then I'll be very happy. And you know what? After maybe 6-7 months, I was more miserable than ever before. More miserable. Why is that? Well, because I realized that there was one sinner I couldn't ever get away from, and that was me. One sinner I couldn't get away from. Me. I actually realized that I was the worst sinner than everybody else. When I was on my own, left to my own devices, able to do whatever I wanted, I realized I was actually worse than everybody else. The things I did, the things I thought, the things I watched, I was worse than everybody else. The one sinner you can't get away from, it's yourself. Well, do you think that of yourself? Are you somebody who thinks, oh, everybody else, yes, I agree. Horrible people. But me, oh, well, I'm very nice. That's not true. If you believe that, you're living on a lie and you won't ever find true happiness. True happiness dwells in truth. And so you are a sinner just like everybody else. We spoke about the conscience last week. And well, the conscience, it doesn't just tell us what is right and what is wrong. The conscience, it keeps a record of everything that we have done, which is right and which is wrong. It keeps a record, it bears witness. So the things that we have done wrong, all our sins, the conscience remembers it. And the conscience tells us that these things are wrong. Remember the time you did this. Remember the time you did that. That's what your conscience reminds you of every so often. And the older we get, the heavier our conscience becomes. The more guilty our conscience becomes. It stores up everything that we have done and it stays there within ourselves. A guilty conscience. And if you have a guilty conscience, no forgiveness of sin, well, of course you can't find true happiness. You try and you try and you try. You try and forget about your conscience, but you can't. That is why you're not happy. That is why you can't find true fulfillment in this world. David here in this psalm, he had a guilty conscience. We read about this most specifically in verse 3. If you just look at verse 3 in this psalm, this is very interesting. He writes, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old." In other words, when he kept silence, when he didn't confess his sin, when he said to himself, everything's all right, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. David is speaking about his conscience. His conscience is roaring at him. Outwardly, he's fine. Everything is okay. But inwardly, his conscience is roaring at him, telling him that he's not fine, telling him that he's not all right, telling him that he's not at peace. Outwardly, everything is fine, but inwardly, there is a great roaring that does not allow him to have any peace. Well, is that like you? You may come to this place, you don't know the Lord. Outwardly, you say to yourself and to others, oh, I don't need God. My conscience is clean. I'm fine. But inwardly, in yourself, your conscience is roaring. It reminds you of all the things that you have done wrong, all the times you've broken God's law. It's roaring within you. And your conscience doesn't just remind you of your sin, it reminds you of what you need. It's constantly telling you, you need forgiveness, you need forgiveness, you need forgiveness. That's your conscience roaring within you. Is there anybody in here who is like that? Well, what did David do to ease himself of this terrible burden, this heavy conscience? Well, look at verse 5. This explains it very clearly. He's speaking to the Lord. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. He acknowledged that he's a sinner, the first step to happiness, remember? And mine iniquity have I not hid. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to say I'm okay. I'm not okay. And then we read, I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Oh, if there's anybody here who does not know God, say to yourself, determine, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I'll go to him. I'll remember all the things that I've done wrong, all the things that my conscience has kept within me, and I'll share them with the Lord. I will confess them to the Lord. And look what happens immediately afterwards. David says, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. There's forgiveness for you. What do you think is going to happen if you confess your sin to God? You're going to be punished? Your whole world is going to collapse? No, it's going to be the exact opposite. You're going to be forgiven. You're going to be loved by God. Your world is just beginning. Your life is just beginning. You've never really lived until you've been forgiven all your sin. Well, let's look back at verse 1 as we draw to conclusion this morning. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Our sins are covered. Are you covered? Are all your sins covered? Well, we think sometimes when we talk about being covered, in fact, I saw an advert the other day, I think on the tube, which read, "Are you covered?" But it was speaking about insurance, travel insurance, car insurance or something like that. But actually, you know, that's a very good illustration of how our sins are covered. You think of car insurance, for example. You have an accident in your car. It's your fault. You get out of the car. You see the car is damaged, quite badly damaged. And you owe damages to the person who you've smashed into. But then you remember, oh, I'm insured. I'm covered. I don't actually have to pay this. The insurer is going to pay it. I'm covered. I don't need to worry about it. I'm insured. Well, you know, that's exactly the way that our sins are covered. We have sinned against God. We owe damages against God. We've offended God. But when we trust in Christ, we know that we are covered. We don't have to pay the damage. We don't have to pay the punishment. Christ has paid the punishment for us. We're covered. How did he pay it? He went to the cross. He paid it with his life, with his blood. That was the payment. Because he has paid for our sins, we are covered. We don't have to pay anything. There is no punishment. There is no condemnation. Are your sins covered? Yes, we have greatly sinned, but we don't have to pay for it. We trust in Christ. He has taken the punishment for our sin. Are you covered or are you uncovered? Oh, what a terrible thing it would be to be uncovered, as it were. We all have to stand before God one day. All of us. Are you going to be uncovered? God will be able to see all your sins. No covering for it. You'll be naked, as it were, in the sight of God. Well, then you won't have a hope. You must make sure you are covered by the salvation of Christ, by his blood, as it were, that blood that covers all your sin. Are you covered? Do you trust in him? This is so very important. And then, well, then you'll be blessed. Then you'll be happy. You will know that you are forgiven, that you are reconciled to God. You're accepted by God. You're no longer separate from him. God becomes your greatest friend. He leads you and guides you and comforts you. That is a tremendous blessing, a tremendous source of happiness. That God, the Almighty Creator, loves you. When you were separated from him, of course you cannot be happy. But now you've been reconciled and you know his love. That's true happiness. Oh, this is what God wants. He wants to give you this state of blessedness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The world doesn't want to give you blessedness. Doesn't want to give you happiness. Do you believe that? Have you fooled yourself into thinking that the world wants me to be happy? It doesn't want you to be happy. You continue in the world. You know what the world will give you? Just increasing sorrow and sin, an increasingly heavy conscience. That's all you have. Your conscience will be more heavy if you stay in the world. If you leave this place this morning and think, oh, I don't need to worry. Well, then look forward to a conscience that is heavy, that will bear you down increasingly more as you live throughout your life. Why would you go that way when there is happiness guaranteed when you come to the Lord through Christ? Read this verse when you get home. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. This is the way of happiness. May you pursue that way and embrace it with all your heart. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, oh Lord, come and be with us, Lord, even in this very brief time of prayer. Show to each and every one of us the true way of happiness, that we may be weaned off this world and find everything that we need for joy and peace in Christ, because he has died, because we know the forgiveness of all our sin. Speak to those particularly who do not know thee. Have mercy upon them, O Lord, and lead them into that way everlasting. We ask it all in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.